The world of esports is growing and becoming more lucrative every day. We're talking big time, big money video games, and competitions. The world championships for the esport League of Legends had almost 100 million viewers in November. This year's Super Bowl had 98 million. And in 2019, esports is projected to make $1.1 billion, up 27% from last year. But as esports becomes more visible and more publicized, so does the community's trouble with the inclusion and treatment of women. Nearly a third of esports viewers are women, according to the data company Interpret. And Epic Games, the creators of the hit game Fortnite, say that 35% of Fortnite players are women. But not one of the 200 gamers at the recent Fortnite World Championship were women. Nearly 40% of female gamers say they face harassment online because of their gender. Nicole Carpenter is a freelance reporter who covers esports, and she wrote about the Fortnite gender gap for The Verge. Nicole, thanks for being with The Takeaway.
Thank you for having me.
So I'll be straight up. I've never been to an esports event. What does it look like?
Esports events can really vary from event to event, but this one that just happened in New York City was huge. It was in the US Open Arena. They had a multi-tiered stage, and the audience was actually very diverse. There were young people, old people, men, women, children, adults, families together. It had kind of a theme park feel.
What are some of the games that are popular at the moment? I hear a lot about Fortnite, but beyond Fortnite, what else is popular?
Blizzard Entertainment's Overwatch, that's a first-person shooter. It's kind of more colorful like Fortnite, and that's one of the big ones. They have a league. A lot of sports teams have bought into that league. League of Legends is another. Counter-Strike is another shooting game that has been around for a very, very long time and continues to be popular. And then from there are other offshoots. They play digital card games competitively. There are a lot out there.
So we mentioned at the top that this is an industry that does have women not only participating, but also watching the games. And yet competitions are still dominated by male players. Why is that?
There's a lot of reasons. I think that culturally, video games have been, it's a male-dominated thing. Growing up, it wasn't as socially acceptable for women to be playing these games. So when we're coming into it now, there's a smaller pool of women who are trying to go pro. You know, when you look at this kind of statistically, it's like there are this huge pool of men trying to go pro and a smaller pool of women. And then from those two pools, only a fraction of a percent will get to that level. So when you just look at the numbers there, it makes sense that there are fewer women, but that doesn't make it okay. And so from here, you know, the industry needs to take steps to kind of broaden that pool, to elevate that pool of women who want to go pro, who want to play, and then, you know, we'll see more women rising in the ranks.
I want to talk a little bit about online harassment, particularly against female gamers. Let's talk about Gamergate. For those of us who don't remember, that was sort of a breaking point, wasn't it?
Right. Yeah, that was a breaking point for the video game industry, for sure.
Explain to us what it was, if you could.
Gamergate was kind of sort of a harassment campaign that was kicked off against women in the industry, kind of heralded behind the idea of kind of ethics in games journalism.
And how did it play out specifically? Like, what were some examples of the harassment?
One of the big instances was that a video game creator was kind of the figurehead of this, and she got a lot of harassment. And from there, women in the industry kept being targeted for their ideas, their views, for being women on the internet. That was harassment. That was getting doxxed, which is when someone posts your private information online. And it kind of spiraled out of control from there.
Now, online harassment is still happening in the gaming community, right? I mean, is that discouraging women from competing?
Sure, it absolutely is. In the piece that you mentioned, I spoke with women who compete in Fortnite, the women of a team called Gen G. They are signed to this organization, which is based out of the U.S. and Korea. And they were telling me that a typical day for them is facing this sort of harassment daily. People see their name in game, they send them messages, they talk about them on Twitch, and the harassment kind of runs the gamut, you know, the good old women should be in the kitchen thing to kind of violent misogyny.
Is the esports industry doing anything about that? Are they trying to curb this type of harassment?
There certainly are initiatives to take steps to get where the industry needs to go. There are women's leagues, particularly in Counter-Strike, which are kind of, they're very special. There's a lot of controversy around these women's leagues, but what they do is create a safe place for women to kind of grow in the ranks and to develop their skills. And those kind of opportunities are what we need to kind of bring women into the elite level of play.
And I'm wondering, is there anything else that can be done to encourage women competitors to join in?
Yeah, seeing other women doing this, I think, is a big part of it. And I think one of the misconceptions is that there are no women in esports, and that's just absolutely not true. There's women in all aspects of esports. There are tons of women there. You know, there are women like me who are journalists. There are women doing any job you can think of in esports. It's just really pro play where we haven't broken through there yet. And we have started to see women doing that. So I think seeing more women, seeing women play like the women of Gen G, that's a great start.
Nicole Carpenter is a freelance reporter who covers the esports industry. Nicole, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.